today I want to shift a little bit, talking from the genetics to how genetics can be used to assess the effectiveness of genetics in improving nutritional quality of cassava, and particularly with the vitamin A content, with the increase of provitamin A carotenoids. As I'm sure everybody's aware, that vitamin A is essential for vision, growth, development, immune function, reproduction. Deficiency will cause blindness and night blindness. It is, reduces the immune system, increases morbidity and mortality, and this is especially a problem with children and women. And as you probably are well aware, vitamin A deficiency is a problem worldwide, especially in areas where there's a lack of variety in the diet. And this is because sources of provitamin A or preformed vitamin A include dairy products such as milk and cheese, eggs, organ meats such as liver, and then the provitamin A carotenoids that are carrot, sweet potato, pumpkin, and leafy greens such as spinach. The reason that the lack of diversity of diet is so important for these areas where vitamin A is deficient is because staple food crops such as maize, rice, wheat, beans, cassava, potato lack provitamin A carotenoids. And so populations that consume most of their calories from these crops have inadequate nutrition. So a lot of work has been made to increase the nutrition of these crops. And cassava is one of these staple crops that for in a vitamin A deficient population, especially in Africa. And typically it is the tubers are low in beta carotene with about 0.5 nanomoles per gram dry weight compared with the carrot, which is about 240 nanomoles per gram on a fresh weight basis. So you can see there's quite a variety. And if you just consumed some carrots along with your cassava, you probably would be just fine. But since many populations do not do this, a lot of biofortification efforts, and these are traditional breeding approaches to improve beta carotene, have resulted in 10 to 15 nanomoles per gram of dry weight of beta carotene in the cassava. But a lot of nutritionists don't feel that foods are going to be a good answer to the biofortification problems are going to be a good answer to this vitamin A deficiency, and they're very strongly advocating these supplementation programs, which often are ineffective because they don't reach the target population or maybe expensive as well. So the questions are, is the beta carotene in cassava actually bioavailable, and can it supply enough to actually change the vitamin A status? So we did some experiments with this. Now there's three ways to assess bioavailability. One is a human study. Usually they measure serum vitamin A. Unfortunately, serum vitamin A is very regulated by the body, so unless you're extremely deficient, you're not going to see any effect of feeding trials and things. The liver is really the best estimate of vitamin A status, but it's difficult to get people to donate part of their liver to assess their vitamin A. Isotope studies then would be the next best. However, they're also expensive, and isotopes, some of the methodology isn't perfectly worked out, and it's also difficult to get people to consume what you want them to consume all the time. So the next step would be looking at in vitro studies, or looking at intestinal KCO2 cells to mimic what's going on at the absorption process level. Unfortunately, this really assesses bioaccessibility. Because vitamin A is very regulated by the body, those intestinal cells don't see that those influences of the other organs and how it's controlling it. So then animal studies would be probably the least expensive, and maybe assesses the whole picture of absorption. And the Mongolian gerbil does a very good job at absorbing and metabolizing beta carotene, similar to what humans do. And you can assess the vitamin, the liver reserves as a measurement of vitamin A status. So this is the this is what I did. The first objective was to compare the biofortified cassava with a beta carotene and vitamin A supplement, and then also to look at conversion factors between beta carotene and vitamin A. And then the second objective was to look at the effect of variety and the effect of dietary percentage. So to look at even small amounts of the cassava could contribute to vitamin A status. So basically we have received some cassava from the International Institute for Tropical Agriculture in Nigeria, and looked at white cassava and two different biofortified varieties. These two varieties have about the same beta-carotene or vitamin A content. I adjusted beta-carotene and alpha-carotene and combined them on a vitamin A basis because beta-carotene actually theoretically supplies two molecules of vitamin A for every molecule of beta-carotene, where alpha-carotene provides only one. So by doing this, we can be in the same units the whole time. And you can see even the white cassava actually had a little bit of beta-carotene or a little bit of vitamin A value. So the study, we took the gerbils and we depleted them for about 4 weeks to reduce the vitamin A in their liver and their storage, and then treated them for 4 weeks with the following diets. They all had cassava, either the high beta-carotene variety number one or white cassava. And then they all had an oil dose, and the oil dose either was just oil or it had beta-carotene supplement or a vitamin A supplement. And we matched the supplement concentrations to what the gerbil in the gerbils in the cassava diet, high cassava diet, consumed, so that we had about the same vitamin A consumption for all of the animals. So as I said, liver vitamin A is a measure of vitamin A status. So here's comparing total liver vitamin A in the vitamin A group, cassava, beta-carotene, the control animal, and then the baseline, which was killed 4 weeks prior to the end of the study. And you can see that cassava and beta-carotene basically did about the same. So the cassava actually was as good as the supplement in providing vitamin A. And that these were not significantly different from the control baseline, so that they've maintained vitamin A status or even improved it. And one thing that's interesting to note is that because the white cassava still had vitamin A, this is the control did not go down as much as I would have liked it to. And you can tell that these gerbils were all sufficient, and so they were storing beta-carotene instead of converting it, because beta-carotene is converted to vitamin A only as needed. So you can see that all of these gerbils were actually sufficient. Then when we looked at the conversion ratios, the beta-carotene group did about a 1.5 to 1 ratio in a mole beta-carotene to mole vitamin A, and cassava did about 2 to 1. And then I thought, just as comparison, I did a previous study looking at beta-carotene in maize that was also biofortified, and it was about 1.5 to 1. So you can see that although cassava and the maize, these food crops, are competing with or are doing as well as these supplements, and this, I think, is good news for biofortification efforts. I'm not going to talk too much because I don't have a whole lot of time, but we looked at the match two different varieties, which there were really no significant differences between, and fed at the same vitamin A rate, so we had a low concentration of about 17%, 17% cassava, and a more higher variety that was about 37% cassava, and you can see there was really no difference between baseline and any of the varieties, so that even the low percent cassava did pretty well. And in all of these, the gerbils had adequate vitamin A status, where we had beta-carotene in the liver as well, but you can see there was a significant difference between the low percent and the high percent. So there is, you know, some advantages to feeding more beta-carotene in the diet. But you can see that, like I said, all of them are not in the deficiency category, so I would assume that as the animal or human became more deficient, their conversion ratio would be better, and so these amounts would be even be more favorable than what we're seeing here. So just to conclude, the provitamin A from biofortified cassava then is bioavailable even at those low dietary percentages, and I think this is, like I said, really good news for biofortification efforts. And then it's as effective as the beta-carotene supplement. And so we saw that the differences between the baseline and the actual treatments were really no different. And then so we can improve vitamin A status in the gerbils, and we hope that the human studies would be about the same. So that gets into the next step in the studies that we're interested in, is nutritional studies, I think, can help direct breeding efforts, and I think that there maybe should be more collaboration between nutritionists and breeders to look at the effect of maybe cis beta-carotene, and maybe cis beta-carotene can provide as much, or maybe it isn't as effective, and maybe breeding strategies should consider what beta-carotene isomers are in the variety that they're improving. Also, there's other provitamin A carotenoids that we found, at least in maize, that were contributed to vitamin A status, such as beta-cryptoxanthin. So I don't know what the role is in a cassava situation, but this may be something to think about when you're breeding the plants. And then also the interaction and improvement of other nutrients such as zinc, iron, and vitamin A, vitamin E, which are also usually limiting in these populations, and something to consider. So for breeding efforts, I think it would be great to improve not only the provitamin A concentrations, but also target the other nutrients, and then reduce the cyanogen content. I think there's been some exciting research recently that they have, because the cassava has the tendency to produce cyanide if it's not prepared correctly, reducing this in the cassava would greatly improve health hazards. And then, then the traditional getting these biofortified varieties to be have high yield and resistance to disease, and have a longer term storage, and reducing the post-harvest tuber deterioration, because we found that having it shipped from Nigeria, you found that there was a lot of deterioration in the cassava varieties, because it's just not, there's lots of bacteria and stuff. So improving all of these and improving yield would be a great benefit to improving the vitamin A in these areas where cassava is a staple crop. So I'd like to thank the Tana Maharjo Research Group, and as well as the who helped me a lot on the gerbil studies, and then the Harvest Plus and the Hatch Wisconsin Hatch funding from Wisconsin Agricultural Experiment Station for their generous funding. So, does anybody have any questions?
Questions for Julie?
Yes. Well, I haven't seen any results from the golden rice bioavailability studies. I think there's some in progress, but I haven't seen any of the results. As far as the maize, it seems to be not quite as good as maize, but pretty close. Maybe somebody has information on the golden rice bioavailability studies. I haven't seen any. We've actually tried to get golden rice, and they have not been very willing to provide it, so.
Well, I'm guessing because I've heard from criticism, I mean, I don't know if they're true or not, that you would have to eat a lot more rice than people normally eat a golden rice to get enough vitamin D to have an impact on it.
Right.
So to me, people would have to eat a lot more cassava.
From what I'm seeing, that even 15% will maintain vitamin A status. It may not, I mean, maybe a slower depletion rate, but the 30% seem to be pretty adequate. I think one of the things I've heard about golden rice is that the beta carotene in the rice is not particularly stable, and so maybe that could affect it. The thing that I feel like I'm not sure about cassava, but I know with the maize, it has a fairly high oil content and it's a fat soluble vitamin, and I think that helps in bioavailability and absorption of the beta carotene. So,
I have a question on the feeding trials.
Mm-hmm.
I was told that that rodents like mice, rats, and gerbils aren't as representative of human nutrition as pigs and sheep are. Can you answer that?
You're absolutely right. When it comes to rats and mice, they convert beta carotene very rapidly, and so they're much better converters than we are. So they're not good models. Gerbils are the exception to that. They actually do not, like you can see beta carotene in the liver. You'd never see beta carotene in the liver of a mice or a rat or something. We've done studies with them as well. I think pre-ruminant calves and ferrets are the only other ones that I know that have the same beta carotene type absorption metabolism type of thing. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. Any other questions? If not, let's thank Julie.